Escaping Catholicism. Escaping Catholicism is the title of this series of messages. Escaping Catholicism. Catholicism is a monster that grew and evolved. The Catholic Church says it's the oldest church. It is not. The Catholic Church evolved. We're going to look at this chart behind me here and see how it evolved. The Catholic Church keeps people in graduated to it or what we might incarcerated in it, mostly by family values. There are people, there are families that have been in the Catholic Church for some of them maybe 1,500 years. I don't go back any further than that because the Catholic Church is not the Catholic Church when you go back to about 200 AD. Back in the 200 AD, even up until 300 AD, the early church fathers, what you might call the pastors, that did so much writing about the scriptures, did not believe at all. They would not swallow in any way what the Catholic Church put out 150 years after they died, let alone 1,000 or 1,500 years after they died. Escaping Catholicism is not an easy thing. Catholics, I have in my ministry in the last 50 years, the largest number of converts that I've had in my ministry is Catholics. But when the Catholics try to get out of the Catholic Church, it's almost impossible. If you don't convert your family to the truth, you're going to be ostracized. You're going to be looked at as a traitor. Sometimes they don't have anything to do with them at all if they leave the church. Catholic Church says it is the oldest church that is unchanged that ever existed in the world. Well, that is not true. If you study church history in college or in high school, you're going to study about the Catholic Church. Because the Catholic Church claims that they are the oldest church. And they have convinced people all over the world. But truth, reality, does not at all in any way tell us that the Catholic Church is the oldest church. As we study this, you'll find out, first of all, the Word of God is God's final message to you. The Word of God, the Bible that we're studying, and you know if you've listened to me preach, I preach from Greek and Hebrew. That is basically my ministry, is from the original languages. But the Bible has been under attack by the Catholic Church and Islam for more than 1,500 years. 1,400 Islam and more than 1,500 years of Catholicism. Catholicism has killed between 50 and 100 million Christians. Let me repeat that. Catholicism has killed between 50 and 100 million Christians. Catholicism and Islam are the two greatest murdering systems in the world. Catholicism has killed between 50 and 100 million and still going in some places in the world where they have power. Thankfully, the Reformation greatly clipped the wings of Catholicism in its power to destroy and to murder. Islam has killed over 270 million people and that figure is climbing every day. The two greatest murders in history is Catholicism and Islam. And both of them have started wars and waged wars in the name of their church-state system. Let's go to the Word of God before we go into any more details. And let's see what the Bible says. Paul, writing to Timothy in the second chapter, book, 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse number 14. Remind them of these things, so solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless, and leads to the ruin of hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Right now, we're defending God's word in these messages. We're trying to rescue people that need to be rescued out of Catholicism, that they can escape from Catholicism, rescuing Catholics. One of my students wrote a book called Rescuing Jehovah's Witnesses. We're talking about rescuing Catholics, people that can escaping Catholicism. Handling accurately, dividing accurately the word of truth, the word of God, the Bible. Avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. The Catholic Church has had a history. If you get your Catholic encyclopedia, you get your own things that the Catholic Church, your own resources that the Catholic Church has written, you'll find out that the Catholic Church has left a trail of blood. And in that trail of blood, there has been deceit, debauchery, drug addiction, alcoholism, sexual immorality. And I'm not talking about a little bit. We're talking about mainstream. The leaders of the Catholic Church have, if you go to some resources, you can do this, looking behind the scenes in the Vatican. There are documentaries on this that talk about the cardinals and the bishops and their sexual orgies. Now, one of the greatest things the Catholic Church did to cause immorality in the world was among their own people when in 1123 A.D. they invented the hellish doctrine of celibacy. Ever since that time, this is major work now. Before that, molesting and seducing of women was commonplace in the Catholic Church. But after that time, 1123 A.D., it became rampant because God created the human being to desire to be with another human being and not of the same sex either. That's something that's in every person. I read a book a long time ago called 50 Years in the Church of Rome by Charles Chiniquy. And he talked about Catholic priests that suffered because of this doctrine. Suffered. He talked about one of his own people that castrated himself. Because the doctrines of the church had forbid him to have a normal sexual life with a wife. Homosexuality is rampant in the Catholic Church among the clergy. They talk about all of the horrendous crimes and child molesting that's happened in the last 50 years in the Church of Rome. But, brethren, it goes all the way back to 1123 AD and even beyond that. It's not natural. Paul said, do not let people forbid you to marry. That's from the Antichrist. Their talk will spread like gangrene among them. And then he talks about specific people, Hymenaeus and Philetus. Men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection is already taken place and thus upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having his seal, this seal, that the Lord knows those that are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness. The Catholic Church paid its soldiers by gross immorality. In other words, they were forgiven of any sins that they committed on the battlefield. And they were guaranteed the beatific vision if they died on the battlefield, and because of what he did, or what they did, for the cause of the Catholic Church, of the Church Catholic, that they would get to go into paradise. Women were raped. Women were eaten. Cannibals. One of the things that the Catholic armies did is they used to get young women and they would dismember them and fry their breasts and eat them with relish. This is demonic, people. Cannibalism. Loving to inflict pain and death. Paul the Apostle talked about those that are his are sanctified vessels of God. The Catholic Church is a complete perversion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a complete perversion. If you follow the practices of the Catholic Church, praying to Mary and to the saints, and do all the things, taking communion every day if you want to, you will go to hell. According to the doctrines of the Catholic Church, it is so contrary to the Word of God that if you follow the commands of the Church Catholic, do all the seven sacraments, you'll end up in hell. Because it's all contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle talking to Timothy again in 2 Timothy, the third chapter. But you followed my teachings, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and perseverance. The Word of God has been so attacked by two great forces. The author of this is Satan, of course. But the two religious entities that have attacked the Word of God more than any other thing else in history has been the Catholic Church and Islam. The Bible was forbidden in the Catholic Church. We're going to read you some of the rules they laid down and what years that happened. The Word of God is forbidden to the laity. Every Anabaptist, the word Anabaptist is, Baptists get their names from this word Anabaptist, but actually Anabaptist was a bad name. It was like calling somebody no good. Bad. Calling somebody a reprobate. That's what the word Anabaptist meant. And how the word Anabaptist came to be was that churches outside of the wonderful umbrella of Catholicism, like the Anabaptist, like the, well, look back on the chart here. the Montanists, the Novatians, the Puritans, the Paterines, the Cathari, the Paulicians. All of these people outside of the Catholic Church, when somebody came to them from Catholicism, if they were converted, they were baptized again. They were baptized literally the first time. By the way, baptism was only of one form, and that was immersion. But the Catholics would go into areas and completely kill and dismember Baptists, whatever they were called. They were all Anabaptists. They would kill them and they would take their scriptures. If you had one page of the Bible, you could be burned at the stake, thrown to the lions, whatever. If you had a page of the Bible. Every page that they could find, they took it and burned it. They burned every Bible they could find. Why would a church, saying it's a Christian church, burn the scriptures when the scriptures are the revealed, inspired word and will of God? Why would they do that? Because what they are doing is so contrary to the scriptures, if people read the scriptures, they won't be part of them. So what you do, you get rid of the scriptures. And you enslave the people. And we're going to find out the doctrines that enslave people. But you followed my teaching and conduct, faith, patience, love, and perseverance. God's people have never killed anybody. Do you realize that? The early churches didn't kill people. They did not convert by the sword. I hear so many people talk today. Oh, it was one of the great time that the conquistadors and all of those went into back and took over the Holy Land. If it wasn't for that, we'd all be speaking Arabic today. I'm going to tell you something. If that great conquest that the Catholic Church made all across Europe and into Asia and Palestine, if that didn't happen, we wouldn't have Islam today because Muhammad wouldn't know how to spread his religion. His teachings didn't spread at all, but the sword spread his religion. He copied that from the Catholic Church. It worked for them, it worked for him. It's still working. The Great Crusades were not great crusades. They were crusades right out of hell. Don't name the name of God and go on a crusade to kill people. That's not what God wants. You aren't going to find that in God's word. Persecutions and sufferings such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. The word of God was delivered. We have enough old scriptures today from the original language and some translations of it into other languages that go, if you stack one on top of the other, they'd be over a mile high. You could go to the moon walking on them if the Catholic Church and Islam hadn't tried to destroy it. And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. The Catholic Church knew what they were teaching was wrong. And the only way to keep people from being something else religiously was to destroy the Word of God. Of course, Islam. Muhammad was the last prophet, and everything he got was ex cathedral, also, or right out of heaven. The Word came down. Nullified the whole Word of God. Everything in the Bible was corrupted. Islam corrupted the Bible, and Catholicism was so far removed from the Bible, they didn't want anybody to have it. I guarantee you today, people in the Catholic Church, when they read the Word of God, they would leave it. They would escape it if they read God's Word and really read it. People in Catholicism use the Word of God like a Ouija board, like white magic. Read scriptures over something that's going to get better. Oh, here's what I need today. Boom. And I got my message today. That's not the way you read the Bible, people. You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of knowing them from which you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings. That's the Old Testament. Which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God. We're not talking about ex cathedra. We're not talking about the dogmas and the traditions of Catholicism or the sunnas and the hadith and the Quran that supposedly came down. We're talking about the Bible. The Bible. The Word of God, which I'm reading to you right now. Profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Paul told Timothy, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, that by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. It didn't tell you to have your children memorize the catechisms, did it? It said, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort in great patience and instruction. For time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What doctrine? Is that the dogma of the Catholic Church? Is that the Pope? Is that celibacy? Is that infant baptism? What is it? The doctrines. Doctrines, plain doctrines in the Word of God. Who is God? Who is Jesus? Who is the Father? Who is the Son? Who is the Holy Spirit? What is baptism? What does baptism do? What is the Lord's Supper? What is the church? These very things. What is conversion? What is repentance? Will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their own ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. These are some of the things that we're going to talk about. Escaping Catholicism. Escaping error, escaping the dogmas of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church says it is the oldest living organism, religiously ecclesiastical, in the world. It came right straight from Jesus. The Catholic Church did not start until 325 AD. That's about nearly 300 years too late. The Jesus of the Catholic Church is not the Jesus that saves you. The Jesus in the Catholic Church is an ogre that you have to talk to his mama to get him to do something good for you. That's not Jesus of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15 chapter tells you the gospel. That Jesus Christ came according to the scriptures. He was born in the right place, born of the right person, lived 33 and a half years, basically, sinlessly, was crucified, had our sins put upon him, was buried in a grave, was resurrected, and lives forevermore. That is the gospel. Not the seven sacraments from hell. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for you. The gospel is the atonement that God prescribed for your sins, the atonement that God is going to redeem you with. Every false religion in the world has you doing something to go to heaven. You hear that? Every false religion has you doing something to get to heaven. The truth is that God did everything to get you to heaven. God did everything to get you to heaven. He did it all. All you have to do is believe that truth. Believe that He was born. Galatians, the 4th chapter, says, "And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem those that were under the law, cursed under the law." The Catholic Church will delineate every sin to a young boy or a young girl that they're not supposed to commit. And name them. But then they will seduce those little girls and boys. And if they weren't seduced, which is sometimes an exception to the rule, they're caught in a menagerie of superstition and warmed over Judaism that will keep them away from God and away from the true gospel. I have so many people that are so thankful that they heard the gospel that came out of Catholicism. They're thankful they heard the truth. The Montragon family, the Hernandez family, these two families alone, there's real in excess probably from 300 to 500 people that escaped Catholicism. They'd been Catholics for generations. Generations of Catholics. But they escaped. Now that's just two families at all. I remember one time I saw Levee Montragon up in Bakersfield. I was visiting Bakersfield from Fish Lake Valley about 35 years ago or so. And Levee came up to me and he said, "Oh, Brother Jim," and hugged me. And he said, "I want you to meet my wife, brother." So he took me his wife. He said, "This man led over 250 people in my family out of Catholicism into the Word of God and into salvation." He said, "Because of what he preached, over 250 people are saved today." What wasn't me, in all reality, I just preached the Word of God. If you're out there caught up in this entanglement, the web of Catholicism, you can get out. Your family will maybe ostracize you. You'll be like the black sheep of the family from now on. But I'll guarantee you one thing, you'll have eternal life. You won't get it there. The Catholic Church keeps people from being saved. It doesn't get anybody to heaven. The Catholic Church has never got anybody to heaven. One of my students years ago was in my class for 3 or 4 years. Wonderful man. He was saved in those classes. And he was going to go back to the Catholic Church. He said, I'm so happy I'm saved. The first thing I'm going to do is to go back to my family and tell them about Jesus and Him crucified. Not in the cup, not in the wafer, but the real Jesus that loves you so much, that trust in Him and you have eternal life. I'm going to try to convert to priest," he said. "And the teachers that taught me in the catechism when I was young, some of them are still alive. I'm going to go back and try to reach them with the gospel. That's going to be my mission field," he said. One young girl, I was teaching Hebrew and Greek at Valley Baptist Church. She'd been a Catholic all of her life, been raised in the Catholic Church. A really... what you might call a righteous person, but it wasn't good enough. And I know Pam has gone to be with the Lord now. Thank God she's with the Lord. Because if she had died before she heard the gospel, she wouldn't be with the Lord. She did everything the Catholic Church told her to do. But I came into a class one night and I was sick. I had been poisoned with arsenic and mercury and I was in bad shape. And I was struggling along, shaking really bad. Could hardly see from the arsenic, blinded me. I came in there and she said, Dr. Jim, I need to talk to you. And I said, hold on, Pam. I'll just set everything up here and I'll be right back. And she was tears coming down her eyes. That sweet little girl. When I got through, I sat over there and I said, I'm yours. Here I am. We were early. She was there real early. She wanted to talk to me about something. I said, Pam, what's wrong? She said, I don't feel good. I've been religious all my life. I was raised in the Catholic Church. I've really tried to do everything that I was supposed to do all my life. But she said, I feel real bad. And I said, well, Pam, what do you mean? She said, I don't think I'm saved. Well, I said, according to the Catholic Church, you're not going to be saved. You won't know you're saved until you leave the world. It's not enough. You don't have any assurance of salvation. She said, well, I don't. And I said, well, I'm going to ask you this. She said, my pastor says I'm okay. My former priest said I'm okay. Everything's okay. But I don't feel okay. Because I've been hearing the Word of God preached. She said, you're teaching me Greek and Hebrew, but you're preaching the Bible. And I feel bad. I said, well, I guess maybe you're under conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. I said, Pam, I said, when did you ask the Lord in your life to forgive your sins and save your soul? When did you ask Him? She said, I always confessed to the priest. When did you ask God to forgive you for what Jesus did? She said, I never did. I'm not supposed to do that. I have to go to Mary. I can't talk to Jesus. I can't talk to God. I have to talk to Mary. I have to pray for some saint to intercede for me. I said, well, that's not the gospel. And I told her the gospel. I said, you heard me preach. And I mean, when I'm teaching Greek or Hebrew, I'm still preaching the Bible and I'm still preaching the gospel. I said, would you like to be saved? Would you like to know that you have eternal life right now? And she said, yes, absolutely. She was crying. I said, if you died right now, Pam, where'd you go? And she said, I know I would go to hell. I said, okay. Do you not want to go to hell? Nope, I don't want to go to hell. I said, all right. I said, let's ask. I said, you pray and you ask God the Father. Say, Father, I'm coming to you. This day I realize that I am undone spiritually. And I need to be saved. I want to be with you. I love you. And I want you to love me. And I know that Jesus died for me. And Father, please forgive me because of what Jesus did. And give me eternal life, please. And she prayed. And when she prayed, she smiled. I said, what's wrong now? I said, what are you smiling for? She said, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Well, it wasn't very long after that she died. If she'd have died in Catholicism, she'd have died and gone to the arms of hell. Now she's in the arms of Jesus. You can do the same thing. You can have eternal life just like she did. Just like all of those people in the Montragon family and Hernandez family. You can have eternal life now. Because of what Jesus did. The Catholic Church holds you away from salvation. Holds you away from heaven. The Word of God shows you the clear path in Romans. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For if you confess with your mouth that God sent His Son, that He died for you, believe in your heart, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and that is you. Our Father, we send this message out. Father, touch people's hearts with it, I pray. Give them eternal life. Help them escape Catholicism and whatever thing, other false religion they might be into and captured in and incarcerated in. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son that gave us eternal life so free and clear. Thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to save us. In Jesus' name we pray.